Canto 31. The form, then, of the saintly host of Christ was shown to me as being a white rose, a perfect rose, which, with his own blood, Christ has made his bride. But also there are those, the other host, who flying see and sing the glory of the Lord who holds their love and goodness that has made them everything they are, and there they are at large above, just like a swarm of bees that first will dive into the flowers and then go back to turn their toil to nectar, treasure of the hive. These ones I watched, for I was here to learn, descend headlong into the mighty flower of many petals, and then reascend to where the love abides in all its power forever, and then flying without end, they swoop again, their faces living flame, their wings of gold, and for the rest so white, our fresh snow couldn't hope to seem the same. When they again went back down from the height into the bloom, they gave it tier on tier, the peace and order they had gained from how they fanned their sides with wings. Nor did the sheer abundance of their flying marvel now, from height to flower, in any way impede the sight in all its splendor. The divine light penetrates, with instant spread and speed, the universe to every part, in line with what it's worth. Nothing can intercede. Serene and joyous kingdom, thronged with all these people old and new, where love and sight, without a break, shared one field and no wall. Ah, look upon our tempest, threefold light, sent outward from a single star to fall on everyone in equal measure. Think how the barbarians, born where the bears, great bear and little bear, both wheel and blink, were so reduced to slack mouths and dumb stares when first they saw the mighty works of Rome, the Lateran outsoaring any roof by 10 times that they'd ever seen at home. Then think of me, when faced there with the proof of how far I had come, the human plane to the divine, time to eternity, the Florentines to people just and sane. Amazement added to my joy made me content to hear no sound and to remain silent. And as a pilgrim looks around the temple of his vow refreshed, and hopes to tell again some day of what he found, so I took my eyes upward through the slopes of living light, and I surveyed the ranks, now up, now down, and now around again, through all the faces so evoking thanks for charity. With another's light, and then with light from their own smiles, their faces shone, and every move with dignity and grace. Thus I had seen, but not yet lingered on in any part, the structure of that place. And for those points my mind had paused upon, I turned to ask my lady if she'd make them clear to my rekindled eagerness. My expectation, though, was a mistake. Instead of her, I saw I must address an old man in the radiant attire of that exalted company, his eyes and cheeks suffused with reassuring fire of gracious joy, his aspect kind and wise. He seemed a tender father. I, in haste, said, "Where is she?" And gently he replied, "Beatrice, from her concern you would not waste your longing, sent me down here to your side from my seat. If you'd know how she is placed, look up there, to the third tier from the peak, and you'll see her again, set on the throne her merits suit her for." I did not speak, but lifted up my eyes and saw her where she made herself a crown fit to reflect the everlasting beams. Here in our air, the highest region, thundering unchecked, is not so far from mortal eye, not when the eye is in the deep sea lost, as was Beatrice in glory from my vision then, and yet it made no odds to me, because her image was undimmed as it came down to my eyes, since the air was pure between. Lady, aloft beneath your fitting crown, in whom my hope found strength, and who has been to hell and left her footprints there for my salvation, let me say I recognize such grace and virtue was made actual by your power and goodness. You gave me the prize of loosened bondage, lending all the ways and means at your command. in that same wise. Preserve in me, until I end my days, your bounty, so the spirit you made whole may leave the body you were pleased to know. That was my prayer, delivered from the soul. And she, who seemed so far off, smiled, and though she looked at me a while, she turned once more to the eternal fountain. The saint said, "In order that the path which lies before your journey to the end, which now you tread, should be familiar to you and complete, fly with your eyes, and thus prepare your sight through this tall garden, so you're set to meet the radiance divine as you gain height. The Queen of Heaven, who has all my fire of love, will surely grant us every grace, for I am Bernard, her most faithful squire, rewarded with the vision of her face." As some Croatian pilgrim who is shown in Rome the Veronica, the handkerchief that once, when Christ climbed his last hill alone, a woman used to bring him some relief, mopping his brow, will say within his mind, "Lord Jesus Christ, true God, was this you?" Such was I, since Bernard, when with humankind, had known by contemplation how to touch on this peace. "Child of grace," he said, "this state of joy you will not see if you should keep your eyes down here around the entrance gate. You must look up, as far as the most steep of circles, till you see the queen to whom this realm is subject and devoted." I lifted my gaze, and as there is more room for light on the horizon where the sky is touched by sunrise in the morning than there is where the sun sets, just so when my eyes, from the valley where their climb began, attained the mountain top, I saw one part of the extreme edge far outshine the rest of that rim with its light. As at the start of sunrise, we see one place the more blessed with fire, and on each side of that it shades away, just so that peaceful oriflamme, not the French flag for battles and parades, showed brighter in the middle, with a dam to hold it back on either side, and at that middle point I saw, with outspread wings, 1,000 angels, no, far more than that, in festival, each in specific things to do, and in its brightness quite unique, and smiling on their sports and songs, there reigned a beauty, joy to all. If I could speak, as I imagine, yet I'd be constrained to silence on the subject of the least suggestion of her splendor. Bernard saw my eyes on her, from whom he never ceased to draw warmth, and he turned to her once more his own eyes, with a love that made the thrill of my first sight of her more thrilling still.